I was going to begin by reminding you what comes just before this passage in Matthew. I've always loved Peter because, I don't know, maybe like me, he keeps messing up. He'll take one step forward and two back. He's very human. And so as Duke reminded us, just before this story, Peter says to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, I know that." And Jesus says, "Well done. Flesh and blood has not taught you that, but God has taught you that." And then the story shifts to the reading today when Jesus says, "I must go to Jerusalem and be killed." And Peter says, "God forbid it. I will never let that happen." And Jesus, and I imagine, you remember the look on my face up here with those kids today? I imagine that was sort of the look on Jesus' face. Sort of, "Oh, Peter, you had it and then you missed it." And he says to Peter the reverse of what he had said just before. Before he said, "You know who I am because God has told you." And here he says, "Peter, you've got to stop thinking like a human and start looking at things from God's perspective." And then Jesus goes on to say, as if here is God's perspective, "If you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross." I was pondering that. That's a phrase we often hear and even use sometimes about taking up our cross. You know, when we're going through a bad situation, sometimes we'll say, "Well, this is the cross I have to bear." But what does that really mean? What is Jesus getting at? What is the cross that we bear? Well, I was thinking about it while I was also looking at the passage from Romans today, in which Paul, who last week told us we shouldn't be conformed to the patterns of this world, we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind, almost exactly what Jesus said to Peter, notice, "You're thinking like a human being, not like God." And then Paul goes on to start talking about how we live together. That's today's passage. Last week, I was talking about being transformed as individuals. And then Paul shifts to how are we transformed together? How do we live together? And I began wondering, I wonder if that's part of the cross that we bear, that we have to live together. I'm a great Christian when I'm all by myself. When I'm sitting on my deck at home, like I hope to do some tomorrow, or I'm out hiking by myself, I am a great Christian in those moments. I love everyone in those moments. And then I get around people again. And it gets a little harder. It's easy to love people when no one else is around. The point is, we are to live together. The body of Christ. More and more, I'm coming to believe you cannot truly be Christian by yourself. In the same way, you can't really love by yourself. It's only when you're with others that you can truly love and be the body of Christ. Maybe that's part of the cross we bear. We have to be together. We have to live together. Anyone else ever have problems living with other people? Okay, good. Well, I guess I'm the only one, but thank you for indulging me by listening. But that's what Paul is getting at here in Romans. And it's a wonderful, there's about 6 months worth of sermons in this one passage. And I just want to touch on some of what Paul says, because it's all about how do we live together from God's perspective, overturning the world's opinions. So here's what Paul says. He begins with four simple little words. Let love be genuine. Easy enough. Love authentically, genuinely, unconditionally. Love everyone, not on the surface, not gritting your teeth, but love genuinely everyone. Should I stop there? I kind of wish Paul had stopped there. That's enough. Those four little words. Let love be genuine. That's a life's work, and maybe more than a life's work. If any of you have figured out how to love everyone genuinely all the time, please see me after worship. We'll give you your own parking spot. Let love be genuine. And then Paul goes on. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Hold on to the good. Don't hold on to the negative and the critical and the evil. Hold on to the good and the positive. Hold on to that. Outdo one another in showing honor. There's one thing in which Christians should be competitive, Paul is saying. One thing. And it's not about how much you give or how often you come to church or even so much about the works that we do. It's we should all be striving to outdo each other in showing honor and mercy and love. I was thinking maybe after the stewardship campaign, we'd start a big board with the results of how we're all doing and showing honor. What do you think? No? Yeah, maybe not. Rejoice in hope, Paul says. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Again, here's your lifetime's work. Just trying to do that. When things are good, rejoice and thank God. When things aren't so good, be patient. And regardless of whether things are going well or not, keep praying. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Bless those who frustrate you. Bless those who disagree with you. Bless those who annoy you. Bless those who seem to go out of their way to make sure your day is awful. Bless them. Do not curse them. Overcome evil with good. Bless them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. We often do the opposite of that, especially to those who persecute us. We hear that something's gone bad for them. And what do? I knew it. I knew they'd get their comeuppance. And then when something goes really well, they get a promotion, and we're like, oh, that's not fair. No, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. And my favorite, and the one I want to spend just a moment considering, live in harmony with one another. And this is tied in to what Paul says a little later. As far as it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Notice that. As far as it depends on you, not the other person. All you can control is how you behave. As far as it depends on you, live peaceably. Live in harmony with one another. Again, how do we live together? With discord and dissonance? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, can you believe what they're doing? Blah, blah, blah. Or do we make beautiful music together? Do we live in harmony with one another? I was getting Willard's professional opinion on my definition of harmony before the service to make sure I was on the right track. If I were asked to define harmony in terms of music, I would say it's a bunch of notes working together that together make a much more beautiful sound than any of them do separately. Harmony. And then I love Willard reminded me that harmony also involves the resolution of dissonance, resolving issues. Harmony, working together and together being better and doing better than any of us could do separately. Living in harmony together, making beautiful music, beautiful ministry together. Maybe that's part of the cross we bear. There are times we'd like to go off and sing our solo. But God says, no, you're all in this together. You've got to come together because together you will be even more beautiful and wonderful and harmonious. Make beautiful music. Live in harmony. That is our invitation. That is our task. To struggle together, especially with those that we may not want to struggle with. We might just want to walk away. But to be together, to work together, to struggle together, to make beautiful music together. That is our task. At least, that's the way God sees it. Amen.